Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This week is Rubber Meets the Road week with the grace and giving topic that we've been talking about all month. We talked theory for the first 3 weeks. You know, who do you worship? Are you an owner or a steward? You know, those kinds of issues. This week is about, okay, so you've decided to give. How should you give and all of that? Today's topic is about giving enthusiastically. All of the stuff we talk about this week is coming from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where Paul talks about the grace of giving. But today's issue comes out of chapter 9, right at the beginning. Let me read the first 5 verses. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, you would be humiliated. We would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as not grudgingly or as an exaction. And I love the way Paul does this. I mean, he appeals to their enthusiasm and then tempers that appeal with hard-nosed realism of, okay, emotionally, you've responded to a need, and we're happy for that. But let's plan now for how we're going to meet that need. You know, put it together, give so it's not grudging at the end out of embarrassment, but put the gift together and be ready when the time comes. And Andrew, I love what you said a little earlier about this. I'd like you to repeat that about how Paul handled this issue.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, you just look at his sensitivity to these believers. He could have shown up himself, you know, the Apostle Paul, author of much of the New Testament, the big wig, the big head honcho guy, the super apostle, the guy that everybody's intimidated by because of his knowledge, his understanding, his eloquence, his scholarship as a Jewish person, a scholar. Well, you know, I mean, all of that can be very imposing. So he says, I'm going to send somebody on ahead of me. I'm not collecting the gift myself. I'm going to send it on ahead of me. And that way, if anything falls through, or let's say the gift is not as big as you had promised or whatever, then you're not staring me in the face. You're not intimidated. There's no shame in it. So he's sensitive. I mean, he's seen their heart. He knows they're eager. He knows they want to give, but he's made arrangements for things to be handled delicately. And you compare that, Richard, with some of the ways that, televangelists, some of them, and, you know, lots of preachers and teachers out there, they're doing the polar opposite. They will do anything to extort or, in some cases, embarrass or ashamed. You know, I've heard of church services with colored envelopes, and if you're giving more than this amount, hold up your envelope for everybody to see. And, you know, everybody's holding up their colors, and, you know, it's all to be seen by others, and it's a subtle, well, maybe not so subtle, form of pressure. But Paul's not doing that. He's so sensitive.
Not at all.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing to be able to give like that.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we answered a question during this broadcast.
But we're going to hold that answer just for a second.
We have to
give the phone numbers.
Go ahead.
1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now, friends. That's why we're on the air live, so that you can be a part of the broadcast. Want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question you can't quite understand, a good opportunity right now, because we got two guys here that will be glad to address your question or your particular situation and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. Now, yesterday on this broadcast, Richard answered a question from our friend Lucy in San Diego concerning the blood moons of 2014 and 2015. And subsequently, I understand you've discovered some new information.
Well, it's information I had and just forgot to give.
Well, right. It's not You're that holding I was, out on us.
Yeah, I was holding out. It's not that I was wrong yesterday. I was incomplete, and it's the completion that makes more sense. It's not just full moons that we're talking about, but it's lunar eclipses during these full moons that happen in 2014 and 15 in conjunction with the Jewish feast days.
Yeah, the blood moons.
Yeah, and so why people are excited is because this situation doesn't occur very often, but the last three times it's occurred were in 1917 when Israel was actually, Jewish people were actually allowed to return to Israel as their home. And then in 1948, when Israel was declared to be a country. And then in 1967, during the war that you know, Israel was almost overrun and yet miraculously came out the winner in that war. It was amazing. And so, you know, people are asking today, well, in the light of those three momentous occasions, does the blood moon this time mean something equally momentous in the lives of Israel and therefore in the lives of the rest of us? And that's a perfectly legitimate question to ask. But again, like we were talking about yesterday, asking that question and letting God reveal the answer to you over time is very different than getting all breathless about the chance that maybe this means that Jesus is coming back in 2015 and now I can't hold him, you know. just calm down and let Jesus be Jesus. And he will, I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ living in us, and the Holy Spirit is fully capable of impressing each of us with the things we should pay attention to.
Yeah.
To hold those things in our heart like Jesus' mother Mary did, you know, and then later on you go, wow. It just proves to me over and over again that God knows what he's talking about, and he's got me in his hand, and literally, life is good because of that.
Yeah,
I'll never forget. It was 1986, and I was in youth group at the time, and my mom warned me. She said, the youth pastor's going to tell you tonight that, hey, Jesus is coming back in the morning. And they had calculated it like a math problem and looked at signs and figured that they had narrowed it down to the day, even the morning, apparently. And so we all were, you know, interested but freaked out and woke up the next day and nothing happened. And so he had read a book, 86 Reasons Why Christ is Coming Back in 86. I guess that's not a big seller anymore.
Probably not.
But, you know, if we don't watch it, you know, we can end up going down a similar road decades later. We're trying to calculate this thing. Jesus said, nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the epoch. It's going to come like a thief in the night. You can't predict it. It's not algebra. There is no formula. And so, you know, it's interesting because I think it can be a tantalizing distraction. But really, you know, for us Christians, the main thing we're supposed to major in is, hey, what did Jesus accomplish the first time he came? And what did he accomplish on the cross and through the resurrection? And what does that mean for me? Let's not get distracted from that. And that's what basic gospel is all about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew and Richard, for those insightful thoughts. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. Burnaby, British Columbia. Let's talk to Michelle, who listens on KARI. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hi. I didn't know I was on the air, and I'm kind of afraid to be on the air.
Oh, it'll be just fine.
Yeah, it's just us talking together.
Oh, no. I'm more worried about who might hear me.
Only everybody, Michelle. Only...
No, the person I'm calling about might hear me.
Oh, well, you don't have to give specifics. Do you want to ask a general question?
How do you tell someone to, and you do believe they're a Christian, how do you trust them to stop when you ask them, through Christ, to stop?
To stop doing something that's abusive or wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, Michelle, you have to make some tough decisions sometimes and set up some boundaries. And what I'm afraid is that there's many emotions flying in the middle of all that situation, and so you feel pressure and you feel obligation and you feel all kinds of things. You want to be a peacekeeper. You don't want to stir up trouble with the other person. You don't want to cause ripples or rifts in the relationship, division. And so you seek to be a peacekeeper, but the reality is that many times God's Spirit is calling us to do the right thing and do the healthy thing. And sometimes we just have to say, you know, no means no, and I'm not going to tolerate this, and I'm not that type of person. And so if you're going to continue in this vein of activity, then, you know, I have to let you know that I don't want to be a part of that. I care about you. I love you. I look at you as a friend or maybe more. You know, my best friend is the God of the universe, and he's already counseled me about what is upright behavior and what is healthy for me. And I don't think this is going down a good road. And so I'm going to set up this boundary, and I'm asking you to respect it. And if you don't respect it, well, then tougher decisions will have to be made. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've even talked about stuff like that.
Well, sometimes
I'm
you have to
kind of worried about being homeless and hurting them.
Yeah. Are you married to this person? You're married to this person?
No, I gave my place up to someone who needed it, and I'm kind of in between places, so this
so
person knows quite vulnerable, mm-hmm. and to use that against me still, plus things. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's very shocking and surprising because, you know, I love them so much, and they're relatives.
Mm-hmm. And so are they your landlord, or you are their landlord? Which is it?
I basically take up some room on in their house right now.
I see. Well, you know, you are under their roof, and so that puts you in a delicate spot. I would encourage you, if you have the means, to look elsewhere if you're beginning to get uncomfortable. I mean, you know, you don't want to be bound. You don't want to be bound to a situation that makes you uncomfortable just for the sake of rent. So, you know, you can be very active in looking for a plan B.
Oh, I am. It feels like it's not coming fast enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, we want to get you some information that hopefully might be encouraging to you, perhaps share a resource with you. And I guess what I would say is, stick in there. If you want more counsel from us, you're welcome to stay on the line and be praying. God will come through. There will be a time and a place to communicate in a healthy way about this. And remember that, you know, having a roof over your head from one specific person should not enslave you to their habit and their lifestyle, and that you really can pursue that plan B, and you're free to do so. Thanks for your call today, Michelle. We appreciate you. And as I said, we'll get your information and perhaps share some resource with you that will be encouraging.
Yeah, just hold the line, Michelle. Thanks for calling, and I hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can be of further help. And we've put Michelle on hold. Open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. And let's go quickly to San Antonio, Texas, and talk to Robert, listening on KCTA. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. I just got a quick question. How do you...
Robert, let me interrupt you right there. If you would, please turn down your radio in the background. We're getting some feedback.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
A little confusing.
Okay. How do you get... I'm a newbie. I've just been born again, say, about 3 months. But I always hear people talking about hearing the voice of God. And because I've made a lot of bad decisions before I became saved. And now I want to, before I make any major decision, I want to consult with God and have him tell me, should I do this or should I do that, or should I go here, should I go there, whatever. But I seem to pray, and I don't hear nothing except myself. So how do you get to hear his voice for him to counsel you and tell you, go this route or go that route?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I would say is be aware that this is not a righteousness issue for you, that, you know, we all make decisions, and then we live with the fruit of those decisions. We buy a blue house, or we buy a yellow house, or we buy a white car or a green car. And we're not hearing audible voices from God, but we're okay. We're okay no matter which car we buy, and we're okay no matter which house we buy. But we do live with the earthly consequences of those choices. So what I'm going to share with you is basically this, that it is time. We grow in Christ over time. We get to know Jesus over time. And it's time plus truth. And we learn about the character of Jesus. So, you know, you can display the character of Jesus while living in the yellow house, or you can display the character of Jesus while living in the blue house. And so I give you this example because I don't want any of us to freeze up like a deer in the headlights, you know, wondering how can I move ahead if I haven't gotten a sign or a voice from God. And really, that's not the way God operates, that God is a counselor and a comforter and a guide. But he's not going to choose our cereal for us or give us secret messages about what to choose all the time. And I love that. I love that about him, that he has given you the freedom to grow up and be responsible and make choices. But make no bones about it. There is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And I think that as you immerse yourself in the scriptures, get to know Jesus and his character, that you will be filled with knowledge and wisdom in the Lord, and your decisions will continue to be sound. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing, time and truth put together. Does that help?
A little bit. For example, like I had this person that we were seeing each other, me and this girl, and we kind of went by just separate ways. And I'm deciding to decide, I mean, I really love this girl, but I'm deciding whether I should continue.
Mm-hmm.
Does God really want me to be, is it his will for me to be with her, or should I move on in life?
Is she a believer?
I don't think so. I think she's more into the New Age religion, like
okay.
The gurus and Buddhism and stuff like that.
So because of the scriptures, then, that becomes an easy one for me. The Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So because of God's word, because of that truth aspect, that's time plus truth, spend a little time looking into God's word and what God says about marriage. Consider the book of Corinthians, and you find that we are not really designed to connect with an unbeliever in marriage. So God doesn't have you on the road toward a serious relationship with an unbeliever. He wants something better for you. And so sometimes the questions are straightforward, and I think this is one of those cases. So I hope that's helpful to you, brother.
Yeah, the thing is, she used to be a Christian, but something happened in her life that she kind of got, I guess, upset or rebelled, and that's why she's in this new thing now. And I was wondering if there's something like maybe I can pray or something that maybe God can draw her back to him, mm-hmm. or back to him, you know?
Well, I think, Basic Gospel would love to try to help you with that. I think we've got a New Covenant Journey manual that we can send you. You might share those scriptures with her. And you know, who knows where a friendship can go when the Lord is involved and when scripture is involved. But I wouldn't jump ahead of God on this one. I wouldn't develop a relationship that's too deep with her unless you are sure that she has come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll get that out to you, and I think that'll be some help.
Okay. Thank you.
Hold the line, Robert, and our operator will pick you up. 1-800-677-9377. We have some time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, but call quickly if you can. Andrew, as you and Richard well know, we have a great conference coming up June 19th through the 21st, and it's called Stand 2014. And Andrew, share some thoughts on this conference with our listeners.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that we hopefully learn in the Christian life is to sit. And what I mean by that is that we are seated with Christ. We learn to rest in the sufficiency of the cross, that we are forgiven people, that we are new creations, that we are clean and we're close to God. And so we learn to sit as we are seated with Christ. But then, you know, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, talks about standing and standing firm in the truths of the gospel. And maybe some of our listeners have felt very alone in the message. Maybe they've hunted for a church or a church group or a fellowship group. and have felt somewhat alone over the months and years that they've been connected to the ministry. Well, this is an opportunity for us to come together and stand together proclaiming the truths of the gospel. And we've titled this conference the Stand Conference. It's stand2014.com. That's the website, stand2014.com. Our very own Bob Christopher and John Lynch of True Faced, he wrote a book called True Faced, maybe you've heard that, and myself, the three of us, we're going to present and talk about how we can stand together on the promises of the new covenant. So it's June 19 to 21, Bob and Richard, and I know you guys have been doing a load of planning. And I guess what I'm most excited about is every listener out there, they can get a chance to connect with us face-to-face, come together for not just teaching, but fellowship and time together. And so if folks are wanting that, you can go to stand2014.com.
Absolutely. Good job, Andrew. Thank you for that. Quickly to Indianapolis, let's talk to Andrea, listening on WBRI. Andrea, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Sure. I didn't have a question. I was just calling to tell you guys that I really appreciated everything that you guys teach and that you do. I actually been struggling with the same questions and trying to get understanding and clarification about the same things that the previous gentleman was just saying, and you answered them for him, and you answered them for me, and I've been trying to get those questions answered as to, you know, is God going to tell me for sure, like, if I do this or should I do that, and then also with the relationship thing and being unequally yoked. So I just wanted to say I really appreciate that for giving me that revelation. I've been looking for that for the longest.
Very good.
Yeah, well, Andrew, thank you so much for saying that.
Absolutely. So hope you'll keep listening and call again. And again, thank you for calling. 1-800-677-9377. If you're going to squeeze your question in, you better do it in a hurry. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a very quick question, I think, from Lori, who writes, if God forgives our sins and remembers them no more, why is there a judgment day?
Richard, you got some thoughts on that one?
Yes. Actually, I do.
He said probably.
You've got to understand who's being judged and what's being judged when the end finally gets here. For those people who have accepted Jesus and who have that forgiveness where he remembers our sins no more, there is a judgment of evaluation, the Bema seat, where we get to find out what it was that Christ did through us throughout our lives. It just gives us another chance to see how he led us, to say thank you, to have other people say thank you to us for our role in their lives. It's a very positive thing. For those people who have not accepted Jesus and who are not forgiven, all they have to go on in the great white throne judgment are the things that they have done. And they will discover that there is nothing that they have done that qualifies them for anything but eternal punishment. And that's what they'll get. So you have to know which audience you're talking about when you talk or say the word judgment. And one is a very encouraging, one is obviously a very terrible thing.
Absolutely. Well, guys, time is just about up. And Richard, I wanted to get you to talk about this very special matching gift challenge as we close the broadcast today.
Well, our board came up with an idea of putting this challenge together and put up $25,000. So if we can get $25,000 in matching gifts, then the whole package turns into $50,000.
Yeah.
And in fact, they will match any gift that's being made. But there's an opportunity here to make $50,000 dedicated to the ministry of the basic gospel, that reaching people by radio and the internet and our books and teaching series and all of that kind of thing. And there's it's so easy to do this, because any money you give will be doubled. The impact that you have on someone's life is doubled to more than one person, to two people, to a dozen people, to 100 people. It's no easier to do that. It's no better time to do it than right now. You and God make a decision what you want to give.
Absolutely. Well, by calling today, 1-800-727-2828, you can make your gift. Again, that's 800-727-2828, and that number is good up to about 6 o'clock Central Time today. Or you can link online at basicgospel.net. And we want to extend our sincere thanks to all of those of you who step up and make that gift and double your impact. A reminder also that donations can be made through PayPal, and for those of you outside the U.S., that's the best way to do it right now. Well, I want to say thanks to Andrew Farley, to Richard Pfeiffer for being here, and thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.